Pakistan and India have been fighting for decades over the disputed region of Kashmir. The mostly Muslim Himalayan region is claimed by both countries. Human rights workers say the conflict has caused many social problems, including thousands of impoverished Kashmiri widows and their children. Miranda Kennedy recently traveled to Indian-held Kashmir and filed this report.
Subanpura village in South Kashmir is a recruiting ground for militants. Young Kashmiri men from this village regularly cross over the border into Pakistani territory and attend training camps to prepare to join the insurgency against India. When they come back, they're equipped with AK-47s, hand grenades, and lots of anti-Indian propaganda. Then they take up arms against the 500,000 Indian soldiers stationed in Kashmir. In this tiny village, five such militants were killed by Indian forces 8 years ago. They left behind five young widows. Mubina Amin is one of them, a dark-haired woman in her 30s who still cries for her husband sometimes.
My husband used to joke that he would cross over for training, but I never believed him. Then one day he disappeared with some other boys from our village. After he came back, the Indian army knew he was a fighter. They came to the village one day and we tried to hide him, but the soldiers beat me and then they killed him and four other men. I was only 1 month pregnant with our third child.
Kashmiri groups say that there are some 40,000 widows in Kashmir, almost all of them Muslim. The Indian government does not collect data on widows or orphans, and most international human rights groups are restricted from working in Kashmir. Rauf Malik is director of the Yatim Foundation, which runs an orphanage and a widow's rehabilitation program in Srinagar, Kashmir's capital. But helping the families of militants is hard, he says, because the state discriminates against them. The Indian government promised aid to Mubina and her children, but she says she's never received anything.
Most of the people who have died have been opponents of the Indian state. A lot of people have died because they were fighting India. So there are more widows who belong to the militant faculty. But at the same time, there have been people who have been fighting against the militants. So we have those widows also who are taking stipends for getting rehabilitated through our programs.
Those programs try to create employment opportunities for all widows. Because women in Kashmir live with their parents-in-law after marriage and rarely have paid jobs, they're usually economically stranded by the loss of their husband. The Yatim Foundation offers tailoring classes to widows and tries to find jobs for them in factories or offices. It also helps women remarry. But Malik says that's created yet another difficulty because some 8,000 of these widows are actually wives of men who are missing.
There are two types of widows here. There are widows and there are half widows. They are half widows because their husbands are disappeared. They have been taken into custody either by army or by militants or by somebody else. All of a sudden, the husband gets disappeared and she has nobody to look after. That's wherein we just drop in and try to help legally, financially.
Because the vast majority of disappeared men are never seen again, many Kashmiris agree it does make sense for young widows to remarry. But that's controversial among Kashmir's Muslim clerics. Some of them prescribe that widows must wait as long as 15 years before remarrying if their husband isn't known to be dead. Shabina, who only uses one name, works with the Association of Parents of the Disappeared, which collects data on disappeared people in Kashmir.
Islamically, there are many schools of thought, and one school of thought says that they can remarry after 4 years. But those women are not aware of that themselves. So they feel that they cannot remarry, and even they feel that they'll be ostracized, and it will be like a stigma. So we want them to know that, no, it is okay. You have the right to remarry, and you have the right to lead another life.
If they know that and society knows that, Shabina says, it will be easier for the half-widows of Kashmir to move on. For NPR News, I'm Miranda Kennedy.